I just praise God, Barbara, that you were a praiser when I married you. You know, with my straight line personality being a, what do you call me?
A choleric.
A Clorox.
Clorox, yeah.
Clorox personality.
You know,
you tend to just, in fact, the way I was raised is you get in there and you work and work and work.
And you slam dunk.
Yeah, you slam dunk. You just go for it.
That's right.
But you know, with your personality of having high highs and praise, I just praise God that, you're that kind of person to balance out my personality.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I've had low lows too in my life. That's part of that old nature personality of having high highs and low lows. But God has so healed and balanced out some of that junk that was in my life. And
but that's really the downside of a melancholy personality.
Yes, that's right.
The weakness, maybe we'd say that.
Yes, that's right. So it truly is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And we're going to give you a few definitions of blessing and thanks. And I know in the beginning of this series, we gave you some definitions of halal, which means hallelujah. But now we're going to go to number 1288. And this simply means to bless. To bless the Lord, to give thanks, to bless his name. And we find that in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within him, me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, that's what David did first. He praised God for all his benefits first, who forgives all of our sins, who heals all of our diseases. I mean, there's not just some diseases that he left out here. He heals all of them. And who blesses us with so many good things. Oh, wonderful psalm. Wonderful psalm to read over.
You know, we think about the concept of loving kindness, and the Lord has this loving kindness, this attitude toward us, a provision and protection and all these things. We need to talk more about God's loving kindness.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean, a jillion little miracles, you know.
Yeah, his love is so broad. Love, the word love that we use today, I love spaghetti, I love my dog, I love, you know, that love is so generic and surface that
shallow.
God lengthened the love to loving kindness. That is God's love. It's just so... I can't even explain it. Praise God. So another word for blessing him, thanksgiving, is number 1974. And that's a harvest celebration. This is really interesting, Darren, because it incorporates our giving as well. We can't only be vocal about our praise. We have got to be givers. And the vocalization is giving to God, but also the digging into our pockets and giving our first fruits to God, that is vitally important in this Thanksgiving package.
You know,
it really is.
We run into quite a few stingy people. No, they contact us, and then they say, well, I have another idea about this giving thing, you know.
That's right.
And I want to tell you something. I have never seen a stingy person really make it.
That's right.
I think I can say that, and I've known a lot of them. I know some of them had money. And they were so stingy, you know, you might say they squeaked when they walked, but they were losers. They ended up losing their attitudes. I mean, in other areas of their life, they lost in their health, for example.
That's right.
You need to be a generous giver, and particularly that first fruit isn't even your money.
That's right. This is number 1974. If you want to look it up yourself, it's just not Barbara and Darren talking about this. This means harvest celebration. And we bless him with our first fruits. He loves a cheerful giver, Darren, and that's in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He loves a cheerful giver. Another meaning for blessing the Lord is number 2167, and this is to play music, striking with the fingers, and it's called the Hebrew word is zamar, Z-A-W-M-A-R, and in Psalm 144:1 we see, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And we were just reading in, I believe it was Psalm 18, where he also does battle with his hands. So we know that our fingers can do great praise and worship. I find it rather disconsolating in these last days that I look upon it after we had the music store, and so many children were interested in piano lessons and music lessons in the 70s and 80s. There are not a whole lot of children anymore that are taking music lessons. They're not doing things with their fingers anymore as far as music. And I'm really concerned about that, Darren. Everything is sports. Everything is sports and gymnastics and all this kind of stuff. But part of the praise package is striking with the fingers, playing music with our fingers and our hands.
Well, look at the number of musical instruments that David created.
Yes.
You know, for praising God.
The lyre and the harp and
he had a lot
trumpets
of
trumpets and all kinds of different things we play with our fingers. So I just pray that that'll turn around. More parents will want their children to have lessons.
And why don't we just say this here? Both you and I have a musical background and we're music majors in college, but the piano is a basis for so many things. So we really push people to give your kids piano lessons.
That's
because
right.
It's a basis for all the instruments, really.
That's right. It sure is. It would be just good for your children to do something like this at least, one or two years of their life. It'll be a blessing. I know I only had 1 year of piano when I was in junior high, and yet it has been such a blessing to me to be able to play, and also Holy Spirit has helped me to play without music and play better. And I give all the credit to Holy Spirit. He's wonderful.
Well,
he can do mighty things.
It's a wonderful thing in our home when I hear you down at the piano praising God and the music comes up the stairway. I may be shaving or getting ready to come to the studio, or maybe in the evening, and you're down and just worshiping and praising God on a keyboard.
Oh, what a blessed
release.
And that's
an awesome blessing in our marriage.
I'll just
take this time, Barbara, to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And number 34, yada, is to revere or worship and extend the hands. And here we see some people say, well, I don't know why you have to extend your hands. I don't know why you have to raise your hands in church. I'm not that kind of emotional person. Well, one of the things of praise and worship is in number 3034 in the Strong's Concordance. It means to extend the hands. And we see that in Psalm 28:2, in Psalm 63:4, in Psalm 119:48, Psalm 134:2, and Psalm 141:2. This isn't just an isolated incident, Darren. This is all through the whole Word where people raise their hands.
So what you're saying is this is really one of the desirable ways of God that He wants to be worshipped.
That's right. I was thinking as I was writing out the teaching for this lesson about how Jesus died, and it's not biblical. There's nothing said in the Bible about it. But when Jesus extended His arms on the cross and they nailed His hands to the cross, His hands were open, His arms were extended upward. I believe that was an ultimate praise gesture of Jesus to His Father.
Well, now, of course, it wasn't a gesture that He chose in that situation, because His hands were nailed to the cross, His body was sagging down. But what we're saying is that's not necessarily pointed out in Scripture as being, you know, Jesus praising the Father with His hands up. But
yes.
I would agree with you. If you looked at Jesus on the cross there, He had His hands raised up toward heaven. And even during that time of terrible torture and torment, you know, even when He said, I commit my spirit to you, my spirit is coming to you, Father,
mm-hmm.
He knew what He was doing.
That's right. When the disciples were saying, Lord, teach us to pray. How should we pray? And here was the Son of the Most High God who said, this is how you pray when you pray prayer. And He started with thanksgiving, Darren. This is so important. We don't see this in the Lord's Prayer many times. But it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That means highly to be revered, O Lord, is Your name. Your name above all names. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then at the end of this beautiful prayer is, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's a true prayer of praise.
Well,
it really is.
I also think about over in the book of Revelation where it says, Worthy art Thou, our Lord, to receive glory, honor, majesty, and power.
Oh yes. He's ultimate praise. And you're right. Revelation has many, many praises in it. We see that Jesus is the greatest praiser of all, and He shows us in the Gospels that His primary purpose for coming in the flesh, you know, it wasn't to do away with the works of the enemy, although that's biblical, very biblical. In fact, He said it. But I truly believe it's to teach us to love and praise God. His primary purpose for Him being here on this earth was to teach His disciples love and
which
praise.
Will destroy the works of the enemy.
Well, absolutely, you're right.
Yes.
You're right. In John 11:41, He prays, Father, I thank Thee that You heard me and that You hear me always. Now, this is the kind of prayer we need to pray. Father God, I thank You that You hear me and You always hear me, Lord, and that I'm not in sin. And I thank You. If I am in sin, Lord, forgive me. But I lift up my hands in praise to You, and I thank You.
Now, this is one of the most important concepts.